everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. You are listening to It's All About Food. Thank you so much for tuning in. And with me today is Gary DeMattei.
Hey!
Welcome, Gary DeMattei.
Woo! Karen!
Yes.
Hey.
We're doing it again.
We're back together.
We're back together with another episode of It's All About Food. And this is what we've been planning to do for over a decade, actually.
Yeah, you and I on this show together.
And now we're making it happen.
But you've been doing this all by yourself with some amazing guests for how many years now?
Actually, I will be celebrating 11 years of this show at the end of the month.
11 years. 11 years every Tuesday.
11 years. It used to be on Wednesday, and then it was moved to Tuesdays, but it's been every week for a long time. So first, I want to thank the Progressive Radio Network, Gary Null, and everybody over there for putting together an awesome station and hosting this show. I've learned so much.
Yes. Progressive Radio Network, a shout out to them and to Gary Null and to the whole gang down there. Thanks for doing this, guys and gals and people and non-binaries and everyone.
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 And
whatever your pronoun.
I've learned so much from doing this program, not just from the people that I've talked to and the books that I've read and the conversations that I've had, but just, and it's funny because I want to say just learning how to talk and all of a sudden I'm tongue-tied and I can't say anything. Anyway, here
you're
we are.
You're choked up is what you are. You're all choked
I'm getting
up.
Getting all choky.
You are. I can see the eyes. I'm in the studio with you. I could see your eyes starting to well up with
wet,
some tears.
A little watery, yeah. Well,
yeah. I mean, you've been doing this show, as you say, at the end of March.
It'll be 11 years. It's a long time.
That's a long
time. It's a passion.
Time. Yeah. And we're going to keep going as long as we can.
That sounds good, Gary.
Yeah.
Here we go. Pinky swear.
Pinky swear. Let's do it. Pinky swear.
You know, you miss a lot just listening to audio.
Right.
But I like audio.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm glad that you don't get to see everything.
Right. No, it's a lot of fun. And I've been having a blast doing the show with you the past several weeks. It's been really...
Thank you.
A lot of fun.
Well, let's keep it going.
Yeah, let's keep it going.
Okay, so on this program, we talk about...
Food.
And there's a bright side of food. There's a dark side of food. We like to talk more about the bright side or the delicious side, but sometimes we talk about the dark side.
And there's a lot to talk about this week with respect to food. For example, we've been eating a lot of food.
We've been eating. You know, we've been very fortunate to be able to eat.
Yes, we
have. And to be able to eat the foods that we want to eat.
Yes.
Can I just like underline that for a minute? Because
please do.
Everybody takes, not everyone, but many people take that for granted.
Yes.
Just going to be able to either go to a refrigerator or a cupboard or walk out your door or call on the phone or order online, however you do it, and get food delivered. That's an amazing luxury.
Yes, that we take
for granted. It's an amazing amount of good fortune.
And now we're even able to order food online that's vegan, which is another real luxury that hasn't always been there.
No, I've said this before on this show that the thrill is gone for me in some ways, where when I was first vegan in 1988, and in those early days for me, when I would find a restaurant or a store that had a treat,
mm-hmm.
I went nuts.
Yeah.
And it was a big celebration.
Yes.
And now I'm still grateful, and there are some amazing treats that I've had, but it's not the same, except for today.
Today was a real...
Today was amazing.
Yes.
So we were celebrating today.
Yes. Well, we should say we were celebrating today But we've been celebrating ever since the last time we were talking.
About these, celebrating?
To these folks.
We like to celebrate.
We've been eating tacos since Taco Tuesday.
That's right.
We've had a lot of tacos.
We like tacos.
So yes, but there was a big celebration happening today.
So you may remember I got a job, a performance job, and I mentioned it. It's coming up in April and May in Wisconsin, and I got the contract today, and I signed it and submitted it, and we just wanted to celebrate that because it was amazing.
Big deal. Down at Actors Equity here in New York, Karen signed her contract for the gig in Wisconsin for 9 weeks, and then we started celebrating.
Yeah. Well, then I ran and did another audition.
After running and doing an audition.
And then we started celebrating, and we went to Blossom, and we celebrated there a few weeks ago when I first found out I got this gig.
And so we thought it would be nice to do that again.
And we got some really amazing food.
Oh, and the pictures of that. Now, we're going to have a companion piece to this broadcast. So check out the website to look at the pictures of this food that we ate.
We started with salads. And, you know, usually we just get a main dish. Maybe we'll get an appetizer. But this time we splurged because we were celebrating. And we both got salads and then main dishes. And these salads.
We got the large salads.
We got the large salads. But they looked like Christmas trees.
They were beautiful.
They were beautiful.
That's why we're going to do pictures. Because you have to see these salads. They were.
And just delicious. Mine was an arugula salad with mint, basil, and pistachios.
And quinoa.
And quinoa. And cherry tomatoes.
Yeah.
But the mix of the arugula and the mint, I just love that.
It was cone-shaped, both of our salads.
Yeah. And you had a
vegan Caesar salad, and I don't know what that dried thing was in there. Was it a dried mushroom? Because it didn't bother me. Or was it a dried...
Everybody knows Gary doesn't like mushrooms, but
it was a very chewy, dried...
Something.
Vegetable of some sort, or mushroom maybe.
Yeah, it was good.
Just delightful. We'll have to go back and look at what that was.
On their menu. Yeah.
But I didn't seem to mind. And we had both not eaten all day.
All day.
I had an acting class at HB Studio. And
I was just wrapped up working like crazy. Working. And then the contract came in the mail and I just wanted to sign it and submit it. And so I just dropped everything and ran in.
I also like to bring up that you're listening to this program on Tuesday, but we're recording it on Monday. So this all happened on Monday.
Monday.
So we aren't live today because we have other things happening tomorrow, but we thought we'd pre-record for you today. So we're talking about what happened with us yesterday.
That's too confusing, especially for a lot of people who download this show after it's broadcast.
Right.
Which is tomorrow or next week.
Right.
And we're talking about today and yesterday.
But it's also daylight saving time.
Time doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. But I just wanted everyone to know that we started out this week, this Monday, with Karen getting her contract.
Okay, anyway, so we had this fabulous dinner, and we had the salad, then we had the entree, and then we shared a dessert, and we thought we were all done. I was very, very satisfied.
Now, this is very exciting. I love where you're going here, because, I mean, I'm really excited to talk about this.
And the weather is amazing today. It's a gorgeous, like, spring-like day.
Yes. Unbelievably gorgeous.
So we're walking around Manhattan, and it's beautiful, and we're heading towards a subway to take home.
Right.
And we passed by.
And we walked right by it, too.
We had a good clip.
And we caught the sign out of the corner of our eyes, and we stopped and went back. It was like the most unbelievable thing.
The sign said vegan gelato.
And it didn't register, did it?
No.
Vegan gelato. Was like, we were like dreaming.
Exactly.
Vegan gelato. We just kept walking. All of a sudden, I stopped and I went, wait a minute. Did that sign say vegan gelato? So we ran back to this store, and sure enough, there were these two delightful people standing in the store. They looked like fashion models.
Yeah.
A man and a woman, young man and a young woman. And they started to speak with these gorgeous Italian dialects.
Yes.
Great English. And all of a sudden we're like, is everything in this store vegan? And
yes.
Said, yes, it is. And there was a, it was just, it was like we were in a dream.
Yeah. I mean, and I was, like I said, very satisfied from our dinner. And I didn't want to overdo it, but I also was in the moment. And I had to try it.
Yeah.
So we looked at all the flavors. The place is called Pura Vita Super.
Pura Vita, as opposed to Pura Vida, for those of you who are, have been to Costa Rica. This is not Pura Vida, it's Pura Vita.
Yeah.
And it's the Italian.
Super. Super.
And it's Pura Vita Super. It's at 208 West 23rd Street, New York, New York. And it's really cool. And
they just opened a month ago.
They opened a month ago, and we sampled stuff, and we both had a scoop.
I had the pistachio gelato, and you had the chocolate chip.
And it was made with oat milk.
Yeah, oat milk is hot.
It was delicious. Now, they also do some coconut-based milk gelatos, coconut milk gelatos. But these, I mean, my chocolate chip had these huge chunks of chocolate. I didn't give you any, did I?
No. So for someone like me who's been doing this vegan thing for like 32 years and I'm a little jaded now and
nothing impresses me.
This made me stop in my tracks.
Yeah.
Literally.
It's really great. So for all of you out there in Manhattan or the New York City area or the tri-state area, and you come into town, check out Pura Vita Super at...
Yeah, we want them to stay in business. We chatted with them a little bit, and I'm probably going to get one of them to come on this.
Yeah, it's a brother and sister team. And
they're from Bologna.
Bologna, right. And they've been here a while, and they just opened this thing.
Yeah, so we want to keep them in business. So go...
Check it out.
Take a trip to Manhattan.
You'll be hearing more about this.
From wherever you are.
What was really thrilling, though, was we've all often talked about the plant-based ice creams that are out on the market and always think about why doesn't someone do a real, authentic gelato? And this was it.
Well, they were Italian. They were real, authentic Italians.
And they not only have gelatos, they have sorbettos, and they also have... croissant.
No, I have not tried the croissant.
But
Ariella said it.
Ariella Rubin
said the croissant was good.
Tried it and she liked it.
Okay, I'm a croissant snob because when I lived in France in the early 90s, I used to get vegan croissant in the frozen section of Carrefour. And they were made with hydrogenated oil, so I'm not saying go run and get them because they weren't necessarily healthy, but you could bake them in your oven. And they were croissant. They were the real deal, only not made with butter. They were
These
made
looked gorgeous.
With
and there were other
oil.
Cookies and things there too.
But so many of the vegan bakeries that make a croissant, they're not really croissant.
Right.
So I'm kind of curious if this is or not.
So we'll have to go back and
Stay
try it
tuned.
Out.
We have to try it.
Also on our walk, there's a restaurant in California called Veggie Grill. And we were always checking that place out, if you've followed Karen's blog over the years, What Vegans Eat, which is on hold. It's on hiatus for a while until we restructure the format.
But all 5 years of the postings are on our Responsible Eating and Living website.
Right. They're archived, so you can catch up while we catch up with our new, improved What Vegans Eat blog, which is more or less going to be a video blog. At any rate... We walked by Veggie Grill in Manhattan.
It's here in Manhattan.
It's here now. So, I mean, it's a fast food place, but still, it's, in a pinch, really good. And check it out. It's on the same street.
Well, we used to like to go to Veggie Grill in San Jose when our favorite restaurant, the Vegetarian House, would be closed on Tuesdays.
Right.
So we would go to the Veggie Grill when they were closed. And one time we saw, like, the staff from the Vegetarian House eating at Veggie Grill.
And a big shout out to the Vegetarian House in San Jose. Hope you all are doing well out there. We miss you guys and we want to come out and see you. Go out to the Vegetarian House in San Jose if you're listening in the San Jose Bay Area area and tell them Gary and Karen sent you.
Yeah. All and right. Wave hello.
Wave hello to Sunny. Boom, 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 boom. And the staff.
Yep.
All right. So we also have another day to talk about, and that was Woman's Day. Right?
And Woman's Day was the name of the magazine. Is it still?
I don't know.
Woman's Day magazine.
What a great question, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
I miss magazines. I mean, we get magazines, as many as we can at home here. And I was just thinking about that the other day, speaking of actually holding a newspaper in my hand and reading it is so enjoyable, like holding a book. And one of the things about holding a newspaper or a magazine is you're not distracted by things popping up into your... You know, you're reading this article and all of a sudden something will run across the screen or there'll be something flashing or something will go right where you're reading and it'll say your article will be back with you in a few minutes. And the other day I was reading the newspaper. We get the weekender, which is the Saturday and Sunday New York Times. And I was reading the New York Times on Sunday, and I thought, this is so enjoyable.
It's relaxing.
There's no stress. There's no video game to play while you're reading the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, like, where's the little X? Let me get rid of this pop-up. And then if you don't get exactly on the little X, you're into this new site, and you have to go back and find the article you were reading. And this isn't because I don't pay for the news. I pay for the news, but they're still trying to sell me more stuff. So
that's a really good point. It would really be nice to have a subscription that doesn't have all that junk, but you get it.
Yeah, we pay for the things on that we can both read hard copies of and online, and yet the online versions are getting me down. They're getting me down, the advertising. But hey, I guess they've got to make
it. This is 2020. Yeah, that's just the way it is.
It's crazy.
All right. So it was International Women's Day the other day.
And there's a lot of top 10, top 20 lists. And Karen, I just want you to know that you would be at the top of my list.
Oh, doesn't he say the nicest things?
Right.
Well, no. I think every day should be International Women's Day. And what is an international woman?
I guess a woman who is found in other places.
Yes. Anyway, we're celebrating or we celebrated the great things done by women all around the world.
And you've interviewed over the years, over the last how many years again?
11.
Over the last 11 years, some women who have made some of the lists in some of the other websites around. And one of them is Miyoko Sherry.
Yeah, Miyoko is a huge star.
And we're talking about plant-based women now, vegan women.
Exactly, vegan women. She has a tattoo that says,
I don't know,
something vegan, authentically vegan or something vegan. And she's just done tremendous things for this movement with so much integrity and grace.
Right.
So we love Miyoko.
And you've interviewed Miyoko and... You can find the Miyoko interviews. I think you've done a couple of...
Yes, I've done a few of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're on the...
And Miyoko, a long time ago, used to be a singer.
Really?
Yeah, a jazz singer.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's got that jazzy kind of vibe about
her,
too.
She sure does.
She is really cool.
But there are so many wonderful women that have done great things, and some of them don't get the press or the splash that... some other people do.
Tell us about them, Karen, because we want to hear about them.
Well, there are so many, and I made a list, and I'm just looking at the list now, and I'm just going to pull out a few of them. I interviewed Dr. Saray Stancic.
Okay,
and
yeah.
She is the one who was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, I think, when going through college, and she became a medical doctor. And it wasn't until things were getting really dicey. I think she was walking with a cane and in a wheelchair and having some big challenges. And then she discovered a nutrient-dense whole food plant diet and basically turned it around.
Turned it around.
And she meditates and she runs and she's awesome. And I interviewed her a few years ago and she did the Code Blue documentary. And I still don't think it's out for the public yet. It's aired in a variety of places, but it's such a great film, Code Blue.
Oh, I want to see that. I've heard you talk about that before, and I'm really interested in that. I'm going to check that out. See
and
if
then
it's out there.
Another woman, young woman, Jasmine Leyva, she did the film Invisible Vegan.
Mm-hmm.
And she seems to be winning awards left and right now for her screenplays and her work. But The Invisible Vegan is a great documentary, and it focuses on the Black vegan.
Mm-hmm.
And we
wonderful
can certainly have more press on that. And then Mary Finelli, remember when you met her at the Veggie Pride Parade?
Yes,
she founded
Mary.
Fish Feel.
Right.
And that's another group, Fish, that don't get the press that they deserve, because fish are like, to human beings, fish are like aliens.
Right.
I mean, we like to eat them.
Well, we don't.
I mean, you and I don't, but
people like to eat them.
It's like they live in another planet. They live in the ocean.
Right.
And there's just been some amazing discoveries about fish and how intelligent they are. And Mary Finelli is bringing some focus to the plight of fish.
Yes.
It's not just that what we do to fish is cruel, and that fish are sentient beings. They feel pain. They have families. They have friends. They have jobs. They have intelligence. But our oceans now mm-hmm. are in such dire situations with the plastic and the pollution.
Right, and the overfishing.
And the overfishing. So fish are really, really having a hard time. So Mary Finelli's doing great work bringing that to light with fish. We have Melanie Joy, of course, who I've interviewed a number of times.
Oh, yeah, Melanie.
Such an articulate, intelligent woman who's brought up this concept of carnism.
Which is
eating meat, eating animals.
Right.
But we live in a world where eating animals is the norm. And the norm to the point where we don't name it.
Yeah.
So she brought a focus by calling people carnist or practicing carnism to kind of focus on the fact that this is something that people do and they don't have to do it.
Right.
And by naming it, that gives it a focus. Kind of reminds me. She's flipping things.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we ate at Time and Tonic a couple of weeks ago, we talked about it on the show last week.
Right, before we went to the Juilliard pre-college concert last
right.
week we talked about
which it. Which was fantastic. But and I know I talked about this last week, but I really loved the fact that the menu was all vegan except for a few items that had fish. And the items that had fish, they had a little NV next to it.
Not vegan.
Not vegan. Again, they flipped it where the foundation was vegan. And everything that didn't fit in had a little notation next to it.
Right. That was interesting. I like the flipping of it.
I like the flipping. So
I'm flipping out about the flipping.
Some other people, Karen Davis of the United Poultry Concerns.
Oh, Karen's great.
Such a hard worker. Just so many incredible stories about...
You've talked to Karen quite a few
yes.
times.
And she's written some very passionate books. We have so many expressions about about chickens and turkeys and ducks, and we assume that they're just stupid.
Right.
And they're not.
No.
They're smart. They're caring. And the amazing thing about birds is they will raise a baby bird that isn't of their own. So
right.
if it just happens to come about, would we do that? Do humans do that? We kick and scream, you know, at people that don't look like us if we're not the right color or our eyes don't have the right shape or our hair isn't a certain way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some other women, Mia McDonald has created an organization called Brighter Green.
Mia's great, yeah.
And they put out some really good reports and videos about what's going on internationally with food and the environment. They've focused a bit on China and some other places around the world. I definitely would check out Brighter Green.
And you've interviewed Mia, and you can find her interview on our archives at responsibleeatingandliving.com.
And then I wanted to talk about Pam Popper.
Yeah, Pam Popper.
And I wanted to talk about Pam because she and I are going to be guest speakers at the end of the month at Jamie Delaney's conference in Port Charlotte, Florida.
And they haven't canceled it yet, have they?
No. A lot of events are being canceled because of that coronavirus.
Yeah, the coronavirus, right?
Yeah, but
we're going to talk a little about that later.
We're happening. The 5th Annual Charlotte County Plant-Based Wellness Conference. And if you have an opportunity to spin over to the west coast of Florida, it's not far from Fort Myers. And I'll be there on March 28th speaking with Pam Popper and Dr. Delaney and her daughter, who is a dietitian, Addie Delaney. And it's going to be so much fun.
Yes.
But Pam Popper and her school has helped a lot of people move to a plant-based diet.
And you've talked to Pam on the show?
Yes. She wrote a book called Food Over Medicine.
Which is an interesting concept, right?
Yeah. Food Over Medicine.
And Linda Long, someone that we know personally, is doing some cooking classes, right?
Yes, at the Jewish Community Center in Manhattan.
Yeah, she would be someone on my list of
awesome
vegan
she
women doing great work.
She is the author of Great Chefs Cook Vegan.
And she's also author of The Virgin Vegan.
Virgin Vegan, yeah.
And you've interviewed Linda on this show before.
Yeah, Linda has such an amazing history. She really needs to write her
memoir.
Because, oh my gosh, she has so many stories of so many people that she's met.
Fascinating. And there's also Fran Costigan, who we love.
Yes.
I would put Fran on our list.
The diva of Dairy Free and the author of Vegan Chocolate. Awesome book.
As well as other books. And she's been on the show several times with you, and I know you and Fran are good friends.
Yeah.
Mutual Admiration Society.
So there's a lot of women that have been hustling, working hard.
And continuing to keep going.
Yes.
And we're just getting started.
That's right. And that's one of the themes today.
Just getting started.
Doesn't matter how old you are in this world that we live in. I personally think we should be learning as much as we can until we can't.
Absolutely.
And we should be working.
As much as we can.
Preferably, it's something you like to do.
Yeah, I agree.
So we have friends now, more and more, who are starting to retire.
I don't like that word. Do you?
No, I'm just getting started.
Yeah. No, I know.
I'm just getting started.
You just signed a 9-week contract today. You're just getting started.
That's right. Woo!
And another thing that we've been talking about a little bit this week is the fact that we've been talking a lot about the number 8. Can you tell everybody why we're talking about the number 8?
So many of you know that in 2006, I was diagnosed with advanced ovarian cancer with a 10 to 20% survival rate. I haven't talked much about that recently, but every year I get a blood test, and it's for the CA125, which is an ovarian cancer marker, and I just had my annual physical, and I got my CA-125, and it came back an 8, which is very low and in the noise of the test. So that was another reason to celebrate.
Yeah, that was the main reason to celebrate.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned. Yeah. 8 days a week.
Yeah.
We were trying to think of songs
that have eight in them.
That have eight in the lyrics.
Yeah, so I want to let people know that if you have any questions regarding cancer, I have an article on the Responsible Eating and Living website called The Cancer Diagnosis. And health and healing.
It's an exceptional article.
And also if you know someone going through cancer, or if you've recently been diagnosed, or maybe you had cancer a while ago and you want to make sure it doesn't come back, if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them for you. Period. I learned a lot during my romp with cancer.
And you've written a book, which you're now in the process of finalizing and editing and
yes.
all that.
Good It'll stuff. Come out one day.
Come out very soon.
Yeah, but meanwhile, you can send me an email at info@realmeals.org. info@realmeals.org.
One more time. info@realmeals.org. And speaking of real meals, we've had some really great meals this week.
At home.
We made a soup. You made a soup. And the recipe's up on the Responsible Eating and Living website, and I want to shout out about this soup. My sister Deb sent us some beans. You've talked about it before. And you used the cassoulet beans.
Yes, the cassoulet bean. So Rancho Gordo is a company in California.
Right.
And they make a lot of heirloom. They grow a lot of heirloom beans, a lot of heirloom legumes. And they're not just growing them in California anymore. I think they grow them maybe in Washington and Nevada. I'm not sure. But it's quite a trendy thing. They've got a great following of people that join their club and subscribe, and they get beans.
They're very clever. Yeah, with the way they publicize the different varieties of the beans.
Right. And what a wonderful thing to get people excited about eating legumes.
Yeah. And so they're very exciting looking, too.
They are. They have colors and spots, and they're different sizes. So Gary's sister has sent us gift boxes filled with these Rancho Gordo beans.
Yeah.
And we use the cassoulet bean. Now, many of you have heard of the cassoulet, the French dish cassoulet. We have a recipe for a vegan cassoulet. The French might, you know, go crazy when we talk about vegan cassoulet, because when they have names for dishes, you're supposed to make them exactly the way they're supposed to be made. Except the cassoulet is kind of like a country stew, and it'll vary by the region for the people that are making it. But it's typically made with a white bean. The cannellini bean, carrots, other vegetables. I like to put Herbes de Provence in it. And it has like a mustard sauce. And then, of course, the traditional versions have flesh. A variety of different kinds of flesh.
Right. And we've done it with tempeh and tofu and veggie sausages, vegan sausages.
It's a great hearty dish. I love it.
Yeah. And we put it in our Le Creuset.
That's right.
Our Le Creuset.
From France. Which is a Dutch oven, a ceramic-coated Dutch oven.
It's cast iron,
ceramic-coated.
Love my Le Creuset.
Yeah, it's a really great...
We have to get more of those Le Creuset, but where would we put them?
Yeah, we don't have a lot of room, and they're heavy and expensive.
Yeah.
So we have one.
We have one, and we use it over and over and over again. I'm telling you, these are amazing cooking vessels.
So we have this cassoulet bean, and I could have made cassoulet with the cassoulet bean, but I decided to make a cassoulet bean soup.
And it was so good, we wrote up the recipe, and it's yours for free in celebration of
everything.
The anniversary of Karen's It's All About Food podcast on PRN. Now going into its what year?
11th year.
11th year.
Yeah, so this is really a comforting, cozy, nourishing kind of soup.
Yeah.
And I hope you try it. The secret ingredient, it's not just the cassoulet beans, but the secret ingredients that give the soup its flavor are the turnips and the parsnips.
Right. And you were really adamant about getting a turnip or two and getting some parsnips and yes. putting it in this soup. You were fixated on a turnip and a parsnip. I thought I was losing you for some reason. It was like, what's going on with the turnip and the parsnip?
Well, the funny thing is, if you go to a supermarket with a turnip and a parsnip in your cart, the odds are that the person at the checkout counter will not know what those vegetables are.
And they'll have to look them up to see what they are.
And if your turnip is kind of orange, it's really a rutabaga. But it looks like a turnip.
Right.
So it could be a rutabaga or a turnip. They kind of taste the same. And then the parsnip.
So if you turn up with a turnip, with a turnip in your grocery cart, you're going to have someone questioning you.
Well,
your turnip.
I think it's a vegetable that a lot of people aren't familiar with. And when I lived in France, they would package an onion, a carrot, a turnip. They would package basic soup ingredients in a all together.
Right.
And the turnip was always in there because that's like the mirepoix, the onion, the celery, and the carrot. You have to add a turnip to that.
Okay. I did not know that.
Well,
not everywhere, but in France.
It's not called mirepoix, but it's like you do the mirepoix, the onion, the carrot, and the celery, and then you add the turnip for the soup.
Got it. I learn something new every time I'm on this show. That's really wonderful.
Yeah.
And what's a parsnip? I mean, how many people know what a parsnip is? Who still uses a parsnip? Right?
And a parsnip in a... No,
and
that's
a
not
parsnip in a turnip.
I think the parsnip... It looks like a white carrot.
Right.
And
if you peel it open, if you like break it open, there's another smaller version of it at the heart. It's really a wonderful vegetable. Have fun dissecting it.
It's related to the carrot and it's related to parsley.
Right.
They all belong to the same family, apparently.
Right. It's like a parsley root. Have you ever worked with a parsley root? We have a recipe at Responsible Eating and Living that's also been published in the Farm Sanctuary Cookbook where I do this Oso Vita. And it's a vegan riff on Oso Buco. And anyway, it's made with seitan. And the bone, quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes right now, is a big parsley root. And I think a parsley root and a turnip are very closely related.
You mean a parsnip and a parsley root?
Yeah, a parsnip and a parsley root.
Now, I'm not really fond of parsnip just on its own.
Right.
It kind of has a licorice-y kind of weird flavor.
Right.
But I really love it in soup mixed with other vegetables. Just,
right.
It's such a lovely, harmonious...
Yeah, and this soup, okay, getting back to this soup that's up on the website for all of you to try, it's delicious.
It's oil-free, it's salt-free, and it's full of flavor. Can you believe that?
It is. It really is. I didn't miss the salt at all.
Okay, I'm going a little crazy over the soup.
Well, we both are.
I'm done now.
Okay. And the other things that we have been enjoying lately...
But let's go talk about your lasagna.
Yeah, I was just going to say, is also on the website. And we were, as you know, Karen has talked about her house-made yogurt here at Responsible Eating and Living Headquarters. And it's a nut-based yogurt. And we make a lot of cheese sauces that are also nut-based. And one night we had some tomato sauce. The Italians call it gravy. But then we have people arguing with us about it's not gravy unless you put meat in it. And I say, bah, to that. It's gravy. And the reason it's gravy is because I use a wooden spoon. And we have a video at the Responsible Eating and Living website of me making this lasagna al forno. And we use a ricotta that we make with almonds and a vegan cashew mozzarella that we make with, obviously, cashews. Now, so many different companies, Miyoko's is one, for example. They put out a nice vegan mozzarella. But I didn't have a ricotta, but I did have some of Karen's homemade, house-made yogurt. Only this yogurt was made with...
Almonds.
And that's what we make our ricotta with.
Yeah.
So I just added some nutritional yeast and a little miso, and it was fabulous.
Well, what was special about it is the almond ricotta, if you have not tried this recipe, you absolutely must. I think it's like crack. It's just soaked almonds, raw, and then I slip off the skins, and then I blend them, and we add a little miso to it, and that's it.
It's actually really easy to do.
It's really easy and yummy. But the almond yogurt is a little different because the almond yogurt has the bugs in it. It's got the probiotics in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll take a vegan yogurt and I will soak almonds, take the skins off, then blend them and add water, and then cook them to 165 degrees Fahrenheit and then let it cool down. And then I add the old yogurt to it, and then right, I'll
which put, is like a starter.
As a starter, you could use probiotics in pills too.
But you like to reuse some of the yogurt from the last batch.
I do,
just like the French bread, right?
Yeah,
the sourdough, right?
And then same I concept. Put it in our oven at a dehydrator,
110 degrees Fahrenheit,
and I leave it in there usually for about 8 hours. But this time I left it in there for 12 hours, and it got really, really tangy.
Right. And normally when you make the ricotta, you have to add a little lemon juice to give it that tang. We didn't need to do that with this
one. No, this was really tangy. So instead of using our almond ricotta recipe, which was just simple almond soaked with some miso, you use the almond tangy yogurt.
Delicious.
And it was amazing.
Yeah. Really
amazing.
Good.
But
really
you
good.
Mixed it too. You used a little miso and nutritional yeast.
Yeah, that's
it,
what,
right?
Yeah, yeah. That's, of course. I whipped it up with the same ingredients that I use with the ricotta, and it was delicious. Anyway, you don't want to do this because you don't have time, right? Let's say you're at home and you've got kids, and who's got time to make yogurt and peel the skins off of almonds? What are you guys, crazy?
Yeah.
Don't stop listening. There is a wonderful vegan ricotta now that Kite Hill does. That's really, really good. I don't recommend any of the other ones. And I'm not sure, does Miyoko do one? I'm not sure if she does. I don't think she does.
I don't know.
But we use her mozzarella. And, you know, and we're in a hurry too sometimes. So now we've got Miyoko's mozzarella. But the Kite Hill also has a ricotta if you don't have time. Or if you want to try to do it with yogurt, there's a lot of nut-based yogurts out there. Give it a shot. Add some nutritional yeast, add some miso, and
Forager makes my favorite cashew-based yogurt. If we're going to get a commercial yogurt, I usually go for the unsweetened Forager cashew gurt.
Yeah, that's great stuff. We love that. This is All About Food. That's what you're listening to. And we're talking today All about food.
We're kind of passionate about food.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like a regular conversation with us. And so the lasagna was great. And there's a recipe at Responsible Eating and Living. It's called Lasagna al Forno. There's a video. It shows you how to make it. We also had some fun with the video. We try to package things here with a little showbiz. So we made some videos about a lot of different things. We're doing some of that stuff again. And check out the lasagna recipe. Now, I have an interesting holiday to discuss, which is coming up next Tuesday. And we want to get you started on that. And that is... St. Patty's Day. And when I went vegan, I was kind of bummed because I found out that Guinness Stout wasn't vegan. Well, guess what? It is now. And also,
it took a lot of screaming vegans to make that happen.
It took a lot of screaming vegans, but According to Barnivore.com, where you can find out all of your favorite beers and wines and spirits, whether or not they're vegan or not, according to Barnivore.com, all of the Guinness, well, not all of them, I shouldn't say all of them, but the Guinness that you would think most closely represents the beer you drink on St. Patrick's Day is now vegan. So the draft, well, let me just tell you what Barnivore says. And also, the other thing that's vegan, while I'm looking for the Barnivore...
We've got the beer covered. There's plenty of beers that are vegan, including Guinness. But it's the corned beef and cabbage.
Yeah. So now, let's talk about, after I pull up this other thing, let's talk about this corned beef that we found out today, of all days, in the New York Times.
Yes, there is vegan corned beef.
Vegan corned beef. And it's there was an article in the New York Times on the 9th of March, which is today, Monday. There's a new player on the mock meat front, vegan corned beef, and it's called, the name of the product is Mrs. Goldfarb's Unreal Deli Corned Beef. And you can go to the website, and that's at unrealdeli.com. Again, that's unrealdeli.com. Mrs. Goldfarb's Unreal Deli Corned Beef. There's a video. And she talks all about this supposedly amazing product. And like I said, it made a piece in the New York Times by Florence Fabricant in today, Monday. Remember, we're taping this on Monday, March 9th at 4:43 p.m. This story ran with the heading, Corned Beef, Hold the Beef, a new vegan deli product mimics the flavor of the Reuben staple. So guess what? You all out there for your St. Paddy's Day, order some of this. You have a week, so order some of this Goldfarb's Unreal Deli Corned Beef, because I'm going to try it, and I'm going to make some cabbage and some potatoes and get some Guinness and make black and tans with some Bass, because Bass Ale is also vegan.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm going to get some. I'm going to order some after we go off.
That sounds great. Now, St. Patrick's Day here in New York City is one of those crazy days.
Right. Yeah.
There's a lot of mayhem in Manhattan.
Sure.
And
one of my favorite stories was when I first moved to New York for a short time and then moved back to California. It was around 1982. I asked a police officer, all of the streets were closed off, and there were porta potties lining all of the streets around, well, in the downtown area near McSworley's, where a lot of folks went. And I said, why are so many porta potties? And the police officer said, so the people can piss and puke. And I'll never forget that.
We're very accommodating here in New York City.
Yeah. And he was going along telling people who were sleeping in the gutter to get up on the sidewalk. I thought that was very nice.
Yeah, if you can't beat them, join them. You know people are going to be pissing and puking.
Give them some porta potties.
Give them porta potties.
Yeah.
Makes it a lot easier all around.
But if you don't want to buy this Mrs. Goldfarb's corned beef, I have a great idea for you. And you go to the Responsible Eating and Living website and look at my marinated tempeh. I have this marinated tempeh recipe. And you add pickling spice to it. Follow the instructions and then add a couple of tablespoons of pickling spice. And your tempeh will taste like corned beef.
Ooh.
Yeah. And if you want to know what pickling spice is, just do the Google thing. It'll tell you what it is. But, yeah, I've done that before and it works great.
Yeah, it's tasty.
And remember, just like corned beef, the longer you bake this tempeh product in the marinade, the better it is. You really can't over marinate tempeh enough, as far as I'm concerned. And I learned this from a great cookbook also an interview that Karen has done over the years that we've actually filmed, one of our very first interviews. I learned it from Eric Tucker's Millennium Cookbook. That is my go-to book still today when I was transitioning from into a plant-based diet. I always talk about Eric's book. I love that book, The Millennium Cookbook by Eric Tucker and someone else that I'm not giving credit to, but he wrote it with someone else. Anyway, get it if you're looking.
If you want to learn, really,
if you want to learn how to marinate tempeh and all of the things that you need to know about with respect to his tofu, his baked tofu recipe, I still use it today.
Mm.
It's just a staples. It's a staples cookbook, you know, all of the staples of the vegan kitchen. And it's a great cookbook. And that interview with Eric was a lot of fun that we did in San Francisco at the Millennium restaurant.
It was. The Millennium has since moved to an area in Oakland.
Or near Oakland, yeah. The Oakland Hills area. And but that's when Ann and Larry Wheat also owned the Millennium in San Francisco, and it was at the Hotel California. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the Hotel California.
Yeah, there really is a Hotel California. Yeah.
And that, you know.
Okay. Hey, Gary, we've got like 4 minutes.
No, there's so much more to talk about.
I know.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, celebrities going vegan? They say, I don't know if it's true, but they say Mark Wahlberg might have gone vegan.
Yeah, he did a big interview with Men's Health.
Right.
And he shows off his figure a lot in this video.
Right.
But he talked about how he ate a lot of meat products and then he had gut problems. And he used bone broth to heal and then he went plant-based. So it's not really clear if he's vegan. But
sketchy. Very sketchy.
But he was talking about how he really sees the value of eating high-fiber plant foods and ditching the meat.
Very good. All right, Mark. Well, we'll get you on the show very soon. You can tell us if it's true or not. Listen, if you're out there, Mark, we want you on the show, so give us a call. And can people even call anymore, Karen? Is there like a number to call? Yeah, there's a number
to call. Yes, of course.
Yeah, we publicize the number to call. Of course there is.
Of course there is.
Also,
it's just you can't call us when we're pre-recorded.
Right.
But you could always leave a message at info@realmeals.org and we'll either talk about your question on the program or send you a message or both.
Right. It's awesome. Okay. And so anything else we want to let everyone out there know about? Well,
I'm looking at my list.
Everything seems to be okay with what we've just said. So
everything is okay.
Yeah.
Everything is awesome.
We had a lot of fun this week. And congratulations on how many years, Karen?
11 years. You know, I did want to mention a couple of things. I am speaking at 2 different events this month. I mentioned the one in Port Charlotte, but there's also the plant-powered Metro New York group.
Right.
And they have different chapters. And one is in Queens, of all places.
Oh,
and
I know where that is.
And they have a meeting at the last Wednesday of the month. So if you're in the New York area and you want to join me, I'm the featured speaker of their monthly series. That's Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. on March 25th. It's a potluck dinner. And it's at Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
Oh, Mount Carmel.
So you could check out Plant Powered Metro New York. Their website is ppmny.org. ppmny.org. That's Plant Powered Manhattan, New York. Oh, no. Plant Powered Metro New York. ppmny.org to RSVP. And that will be fun. And then, of course, right after that is the event in Port Charlotte.
Have a happy St. Paddy's Day. We'll be back on the air next week on St. Paddy's Day. But get a jump on St. Paddy's Day and start looking at making some good vegan fare. And don't forget the Guinness.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right.
Okay. Thanks for listening. Gary, thanks for joining me.
Oh, I enjoyed myself.
And
remember, If you have any questions,
info@realmeals.org.
Info@realmeals.org. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on
Pinterest.
Pinterest.
Facebook, you said that? Yeah. Okay, great. Everybody.
And download the app, responsibleeatingandliving.com. We have an app.
We have an app. And that's where you can access all of our recipes, because that's what I do.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, have a delicious week. Bye. Thank you.